We started last week and really kind of walking through the book of Acts. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be spending some time in it this summer, looking at early Christendom and how much has survived in us and what was important, what was prescriptive, you know, the stuff we were supposed to do, and with what is descriptive, it was just kind of describing how things were, and and there's conflicts in the kingdom of God over such things, and so we're going to talk about it, but more importantly, while that's all curiosity and things to be interested in, we're going to talk about what does it mean to belong to God and to understand and experience God, the Holy Spirit, who reigns over our lives as believers. And so to do that, you know, this is the day. This Pentecost is one of the most important, if not the most important day in the life of the church, exempting crucifixion and the resurrection. It's the day that the church itself was born. You know, we celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Redeemer. We celebrate Pentecost, the birth of the Bride of Christ. We, his people, were brought into being on this day as a people, as a new nation unto God. People consecrated by his grace and his holy presence, who came over us and filled our lives and empowered our ministry and leads us throughout the ages into the world over and over again for his holy purpose. And so it's right and good that we gather together. It's good that this day is a special day. I'm glad that we think to honor it in the ways that we do. So I wanted to, we know of this event, and of course, you see there underneath your sermon, you know, the sermon, we didn't put a lot of notes in today, but we put that map down there, kind of help you understand what happened that day. Just a little bit before, Jesus had commanded, last week we considered the scripture where Jesus commanded the disciples to wait in Jerusalem, that the Father was going to send the Holy Spirit, that God, the Holy Spirit, would come upon them. And the Holy Spirit is one of the persons of the Trinity. It is not an it, it is a he. He, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God himself. And it's very important that we not forget that. The world and some of its ideas and the culture of other mysticism has creeped into the church and depersonalized a very personal God. The infinite creator, the God who reigns over his church, the Holy Spirit. And so I just want you to look at one another and repeat these words. Go ahead and take a little peek at somebody next to you. If you wouldn't, say, the Holy Spirit is God.
The Holy Spirit is God.
It's God. The Holy Spirit is God. And I want to say that it is mandatory that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is part of Christian life. It is what it means to belong to Christ. Jesus says that those who follow him would be baptized. They will be baptized by water and the Holy Spirit. And you have been or should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is mandatory to belong to God, to know him, to be part of him. We're not going to talk. We'll talk maybe a little longer later about what we mean by that, but we're going to talk a lot about that in this hour. But the most important thing is that to belong to God means to belong to the Holy Spirit himself. Do you hear me, church? That you are, you know, there are spirits of this world, and there are demonic spirits in this world that possess human beings. Do you understand that? Well, I don't know if we believe it or not. You know, we're not talking about our beliefs. Well, I want to tell you one thing just as we go along, that truth is not about your belief. Truth either is or it is not. The only thing you can do about the truth and the things of this world that are real is you can either accept them or you can deny them. Your belief is irrelevant to truth. Everybody understand? Yes? So, I mean, whether I believe in gravity or not, if I climb to the steeple of this church and jump off, harm is going to come to my body, whether I believe it or not, right? It is a truth. And so when we're talking about God himself and what he has revealed about himself, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to the disciples in this moment, in this historic moment. And in that passage there, Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, right? He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he will empower you. You will be used by me. You will be possessed by me to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, right, he says. And then he says, the surrounding area, Judea. And then to Samaria, the nation right next to them. And then what does he say? To the ends of the earth. Well, here on this day in history, this is what happens. If you look at that map, all these different people had traveled. Pentecost was a celebration that occurred in Jerusalem. It was already there. It was already part of God's people and their life with him. And on that day, there were a lot of people who kind of made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate this specific celebration of faith. And you can see there where all these people were located, all those names that Barb worked her way through, and my youth group member way back when, all the names he kind of sloughed off. You know, they're all there. And you can see how far and how wide those people now, what's about to happen, and what we're going to see in the rest of Acts is those people who hear this and are astonished by this and receive the message of Christ through the preaching of Peter, which is going to be laid out for us in the scriptures in the book of Acts, and then the other disciples who also were doing the same thing at that time in different sections and quarters of the temple and throughout Jerusalem. All those people now, those people are going to be converted. We're talking thousands. And they leave Jerusalem to go back to the areas they go. And when they go with them, the Holy Spirit goes with them as well. And he begins to speak through them to the people in their town, in their areas. And the preaching that they do is inspired by God's Spirit. And now God begins to spread his message of life and redemption throughout the known world. And ultimately to the ends of the earth. And you and I are a part of that mission and message. None of us would be here today if the Holy Spirit had not possessed people of old and even in the last generation to teach and train you in the ways of righteousness and to guide you back to faith. Do you believe that, church? You're not here of your own accord. The Holy Spirit brought you here. Amen? Amen. You did not do this on your own. You were not a spiritual genius who went and was a hermit on some hillside and God's Spirit came to you. God himself came to you on his behalf and through some other party, through some other person, worked in your life to call you to faith and to understand the things of God. And now, praise be to him, the Holy Spirit, who has brought us here today and is with us every time two or more of us gather. The Holy Spirit is present with us, working in us and through us. And so when we talk about this is not an optional. This is not an elective of the Christian life. Being concerned with, involved with God, the Holy Spirit, is central and mandatory to the Christian life for it to be successful. Many of us have tried to be good people on our own, right? Yes? It hasn't worked very well. How many of us have failed at being a good person once or twice in our life? Yeah. Yeah, we do. We fail repeatedly. Every time we try to do it without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we are doomed to fail, to be unsuccessful. It is only God working through us and in us that changes hearts and builds up people's lives to redemption. So this is a mandatory part of our life. Now, when the Holy Spirit is involved in your life, we're just talking about some general principles. We're going to look at some other passages of Scripture because this passage is very descriptive of what happened among those men. They were standing in the room. They sat in the room like Jesus told them to do. They beheld fire, so they all knew there was no one of them that had to worry about whether any of them had the Holy Spirit or didn't. They saw the tongues of fire that descended. There was no confusion, no doubt. They got up, went out. The rushing wind was heard throughout Jerusalem. People gathered saying, what is this tornado sound? Where there's no tornado, the sky is clear, and yet we hear the wind rushing around, and yet the trees aren't moving. You know, the stuff isn't blowing over. You know, and so they go and they gather and they go to the temple where phenomenon like this, you know, this is where you would expect to find that answer. When weird supernatural phenomenon happened in that day and age, you went to the temple to ask the priest, what is God doing? What is he about? And so that's where people gathered, and there they met the apostles of God. and they spoke out the message that Jesus had given them. They bore witness to the things they had seen of Jesus Christ, and they gave the message. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to help us with his purposes for the world, not ours. You hear me, church? This is essential. You want the Holy Spirit in your life. If you want God to accompany you in this life, he is coming into your life. He has come into my life so that his purposes might be done, not ours. So often, my prayers are bent toward, God, come and help me with my stuff. Right? And my prayers and what I desire and what I seek has to do with what is affecting me and my life. But that is not what God promised. When we say, you know, the promise, the prayer that I've learned to pray as I've grown more mature in my faith is the same prayer that Jesus modeled for the disciples, not my will, but your will be done. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we want? So often in my day, I've got issues that I have to deal with, some that I've, you know, problems that I've often created for myself. And I have my agenda, I have my plans, and I want God to come into my life and help me with my plans and my needs and my hopes and my goals. And that is not God honoring. Do you hear me, church? It's not that we shouldn't lay our concerns and before him. Obviously, he tells us to do that. But the prayer of faith is the prayer of Christ. And what I've learned to do as I've gone home is like, Lord, here's some things I'm hoping to do today. And I need to know, you know, I need to hear from you about them. But if any time in this day you need to interrupt me, Lord, help me be aware of your interruption. Help me be attentive to what you want from me in this day, not what I want for myself. Not what others want from me, but what you want from me, what you desire from me. When those interruptions come, instead of me trying to move past them to get back to what I wanted to do, Lord, help me pay attention to those holy interruptions, those holy circumstances that come about where you are trying to tell me what you are up to in that day. And my job is then to join you in what you are doing rather than to go and get my own way and have it accomplished. You hear me, church? There's a difference there, isn't there? Yes or no?
Yes.
How many think if you began the day and said, Lord, here's what I hope to have happen, here's what I believe to be what you want for me, and here's what I'm pursuing in my life. But if at any moment you interrupt me in my life and put someone before me or something before me in some way that I can serve you and help you, Lord, I want you to do that. I want to be attentive to your interruptions. How many of you believe here today that God would do that very thing, that he would interrupt your day if you gave him permission? Do you think he would? Yes or no? Yes? Yeah, I think he would. I know he has. So often he does it without your invitation or permission. He comes to help us with his purposes. He did not come to the disciples and say, okay, you know, Jesus gave you the mission. What's your plan? And how can I help? Right? The Holy Spirit came, descended upon them, and compelled them to go out, and they opened their mouth, and what came out was not a sermon that they had written, or a plan, or a speech they had prepared. It was by the inspiration of God's Spirit, and he could do that, and did do that in the disciples, and you know in your life, he has done that in you. You know that there have been conversations where you had other ideas, but they went an entirely different way. And you said something to someone that you didn't even live out in your own life. But it was exactly what they needed and what they needed to hear in that moment to change their life in significant ways. How many of you have had that happen in your life? Yeah, some of you. You see, your plans are not that great. No offense. They really aren't. Most of your plans, my plans, they're selfish. Amen? They're about us, what we want. See, but here's what God says in his word. I just want to remind you of it. All the way back in Jeremiah, when the Israelites were wrestling with what is God's desire and plan, God comes to them, and through the prophet Jeremiah, he says these words in chapter 29. Many of you have these verses memorized. I certainly do. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Do you hear that, church? So notice the pronouns. God, I have a know. I know. You don't know. I know the plans I have for you. And notice that he talks about his plans. He says, their plans, my plans, will give you a future and it will be filled with hope. Do you hear me? That sounds like a good future, yes? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, I want a future filled with hope. And hope leads to joy and peace and all sorts of other things in my life. But God says, I have plans for you. And my plans, if you listen and you follow them, will lead for you to have a future that is filled with hope. A future and a hope. I have plans or, you know, plans for, listen, he goes on. He says, plans for good, not evil. Right? Plans for good, not evil. To give you a future, to give you a hope. You see, these are the plans that the Holy Spirit has come into your life to accomplish. Plans for your future, plans for hope, plans for good, not evil. That is His plan for your life. Too many of us, and too many Christians in our world, and too many of them that we know, we think our plans are pretty all right. Yeah? And if God would just help us get what we want, then our life would be happy. The problem is there's a lot of times in your life you got exactly what you wanted, and you're still unhappy. You're still unsatisfied. You're still seeking. You're still trying to gratify. Yes or no? Am I wrong on that? Are you like me? I've gotten things in my life that I thought I wanted. They didn't help. And frankly, some of them just caused more problems. Yes or no? Yeah. God says, I know the plans I have for you. The Comforter will come. The Counselor will come into your life. The Intercessor. And He will speak my words, the scriptures say, and He will teach you all that I have commanded you. And so if this is true, and this is who the Holy Spirit is and what He wants for us, a future, a goodness that filled with hope for me, for you, that's what He's come into your life for. Not to help you get everything you ever thought you wanted, but for Him to give you something worth living for that will be eternal and will have a hope filled not just for here, but for tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Then we ought to pay attention to Him. And that's why we know that allegiance is important to the Holy Spirit. Giving allegiance to the Holy Spirit. That means honor and glory and obedience to the Holy Spirit. Allegiance to God is the most important thing in our life. The most important thing for anything that we want in life is to be allegiance, to offer allegiance to God. That means when God speaks, we say, yes, Lord. Let's practice it. When God speaks, we say, yes, Lord. Whatever you want. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want. And so often you, like all the ones that have gone before us, you and me, we're like the old prophets. We're like Moses. You know, when God came to Moses, He said, God says, I'm going to go deliver Israel. I'm going to use you. Is that all right? Moses says what? But Lord, but Lord, I you want me to speak to the Pharaoh? I don't know if you know, but me and the Pharaoh, we kind of split up a while back, he's not really listening to me. And besides that, I don't know what to say. I'm not a good speaker. Remember all the excuses that he had? And when God comes into your life and invites you to serve Him in some significant way, you are full of excuses. You're so ready to tell someone else why it can't be you. It isn't you. Gideon was the same way. I just spoke to the young people in our town last Sunday at the baccalaureate about this very thing. Gideon in Judges chapter 6 has the same problem. God's about to deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Midian is run roughshod over them. He comes to this little teenager who's hiding out in the hills, trying to hide food so that his family can survive after these raiders have come and plundered everything that they can see. And the angel of the Lord comes and stands next to him and he says, Hail, almighty warrior, you're the one. God's about to deliver Israel through your hand. And he says, What? Like, no? Mighty warrior? Are you insane? I've not fought anybody in my life. I don't even know if I could find a sword, let alone swing one. And the Lord looks at him and says, I am going to deliver Israel. You are going to go. Am I not sending you? It's not about you and what you think you can do. It's about me and who I am and what I'm about to do. It's an important part of our lives. Holy Spirit wants to use you in your life. Will you let Him? He wants to do miracles, not because of you, but in spite of you. He wants you to use you because he knows you can't do it. If he thought you could, he wouldn't choose you. If he thought you were all that, he'd walk past you. He doesn't need people who are self-satisfied, self-possessed, and full of pride. He says, where we are weak, he has the opportunity to reveal his strength to the world. You hear me, church? And so when a church is weak, when we're humble, God uses us mightily. When you feel inadequate in your workplace, in your family, God, if you acknowledge that weakness and invite the Holy Spirit to join and say, direct me, whatever you say, yes, Lord, he will use you in your family. He will use you at your workplace. He will use you in your community just because you know you can and you are yielded to him. That is exactly the kind of people he needs. Do you understand, church? Yes? So being allegiant to him, saying, yes, Lord, is important. Question is, are you baptized? Are you fully immersed in God the Holy Spirit? In other words, are you surrendered to him? Have you surrendered yourself? In baptism, when you're immersed in the water, you place yourself in someone's hands. When we baptize an adult, and we have the opportunity to immerse, which is the preferred method for baptism. We take that person, and they lean back, and the person who's baptizing, they rest, and they put them down in the water and help rise them up. When the Holy Spirit baptizes us, we surrender ourselves to God's Holy Spirit. We let him surround our lives with his care and his grace. We immerse ourselves in the life of faith so that we sense his presence. We feel his power. And we recognize his work in our lives. Part of what we need to do is be immersed in his presence. Have you immersed yourself in the presence of God? Jesus says, when you want to talk with God, go away by yourself. Speak to him. Use words out loud. Talk to him. Listen to the small, still voice as he speaks to you. Bring your Bible. Hear his words in the Psalms. Hear his words in Proverbs and Scripture as he teaches you and instructs you in the way you ought to go. Let the Holy Spirit quicken your mind and your heart to the words of Scripture that matter in your life for that moment. God will direct you if you surrender yourself to him. He will teach you if you decide to be a learner at his feet. Are you baptized? Will you be guided by his Spirit for the sake, not only of your own sake, but for the sake of this world, for the sake of the people you love? Will you surrender to God and any time he speaks, any time he interrupts your agenda, not only that, will you invite him to interrupt your agenda, will you say to him, yes, Lord, whatever you want. Let's practice that one more time. Yes, Lord. One more time. Yes, Lord. Remember that. Practice saying that. It's exactly what Jesus meant. Not my will, but your will be done. Yes, Father. What you want in my life is good for me. And even if it interrupts me, even if it annoys me, even if it distracts me from the things I think I need, I give you permission, Father, to interrupt me. Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart with your fire. Let's pray. Lord, there's a lot of things to be said about you. But none of that matters if we're not yielded to you. We can read the scripture from now until the end of our life, but without surrender, it is meaningless. We, as Lanes Mills Methodist Church, and as each of us here, we surrender ourselves to you. Whatever you want from us, we want for ourselves. We will seek your kingdom first, trusting that all that we need will be added to our lives in your name. Lord, make of us whatever you will. In your holy name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.